It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Greg Scalzo here with you on Sunday Karma. No Craig Karmazin today. We want you to call in, text in 800-990-3776. The Carbless Talk and Text Line across ESPN Wisconsin. This is more. Good energy here today. Before we jump back into Jair Alexander.
You're doing a good job, Greg, by the way.
I am?
This is probably, I love Craig. This is probably one of the more organized shows we have had since we kind of changed it. I can
it's
tell
the smoother show we've had.
You're more comfortable sitting in a chair. You're actually turning off your own mic. You are mentally prepared for today.
I did this for a long time.
I know, but you know when you first came back, you were leaving your mic on. You said, I'm rusty.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, you are just flowing.
The rust is knocked off.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot different when you lead than when you're not leading. You know what I mean? And I led for like 10 years. So
are you not comfortable not leading? Are you uncomfortable not leading?
It's not that I'm uncomfortable. It's just different. I'm not used to it as much. Like, not knowing where the show is going and then having to react is just a different experience than, like, sort of knowing where I want to take it.
That's how I was trained. That's how I was brought up, coming here every Sunday with Craig. I didn't know where we were going. I was just reacting.
Yeah, well, that's the best part of Sunday Karma. We all get a peek inside of Carmy's brain.
So, hold on. It seemed like you were going to derail us.
I was going to derail us quickly because you pointed out the furries that are here for the furry convention this week.
A lot of tails, right?
A lot of tails.
Some light-up tails.
How KBN, right? I don't want to give too much, influence of mine into KBN, which you can listen to 2 to 5.
We should have gone, is what you're about to tell us.
How is Bruss not dressed up with a furry tail going with our wonderful social lead, Maddie Hayes, and doing a man on the street dressed as a furry at the furry convention?
I feel like Ben has reduced the amount of things that he does the outside of work nonsense-wise once he had the baby.
Oh, you can't let him get away with that excuse. You could have done it in the middle of the day. All the man does is walk around the office. He gets more steps than an Olympian.
I actually suggested something, and I'll bring it up to you now. I want us to do a sleepover stream at the Karmazin Manor. Craig said he's willing to trade houses with me, and I told him, listen, okay, Craig, my house to you is an outhouse. It's not a real house. It's like a room. It's one bedroom. It's a wing. That's what it is.
It's a wing.
I'm more than happy to have KBN come and do that, and we do our show live from there. We do a stream overnight thing where we have good people from Good Karma Brands come and join us on the stream and have a great time where people can watch us.
I love it. If Craig's on board, I can't rent out Craig's house to you.
No,
all.
Did he not offer?
He did offer.
If Craig's into it, then I think it's a great idea.
Do we bust out some cots on the basketball court, or what do we do?
I mean, the man's got like 15 beds in that house.
Yeah,
I think we
could sleep in another. But we'll figure out
there's a special sleepover room in the home.
Yeah,
is there?
Oh yeah,
I can't say I bet.
There's four bunk beds. You know, you guys can all stay in that.
Oh, Tundra Trio style.
I would not be
surprised. A little bit different than the Tundra Trio style, but yes.
We'll stay in there. We'll be able to shoot hoops in the basement.
Now, I think there needs to probably be some ground rules created, and probably Craig needs to create those ground rules.
Pun competition outside so you can punt the furthest to Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
I think Brad Nortman might have a leg up on that one.
No, I don't know if it's like when you went to your friend's your friend's house for a sleepover growing up, or it's like there's certain rooms that are off limits. Like, you can't go in this bedroom, sure, you can't go in that bedroom.
Sneaking around.
I mean, the one time I was there where Ben Brust happened to be at the house, he kept touching everything, and I kept getting nervous, being like, man, like, I don't think you're supposed to touch that.
Touching stuff as a grown man. Like, it just,
I mean, completely on brand for him.
Like big art pieces.
Here's the thing.
It's a beautiful home.
Here's the issue is I would probably do the same thing.
I know, because you are like a descendant somehow of Ben Brust.
Stop saying that.
Mischievous guys.
I'm curious. I've got a grand level of curiosity. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good quality of mine.
So anyway, next time there's a furry convention in town, I'm looking at you, Maddie. We got to get Brust over there with the tail coming out.
Google furry is
I just feel like he'd be disrespectful. Don't you feel like he'd be disrespectful to those people
who
are doing something they enjoy? See, here's the thing. Benny does get uncomfortable. I feel like that would be a setting in which he got uncomfortable. So, like,
Ben does not get uncomfortable.
That's not true. Maddie puts a camera in his face. All of a sudden, he starts whispering for the only time in his life.
I sat at a bar in Milwaukee. Me and Tory Lowe, who still appears on KBN,
T-Lo.
Right? Me, Tory Lowe, and Josh DiMaggio. And Josh DiMaggio got so uncomfortable with this, he literally had to leave.
Oh, when he went on a date with a blow-up doll?
This bar that's no longer around, this restaurant, actually. It's a date spot called Balzac, right? No longer here.
Oh, yeah.
And Ben Brust brought a blow-up doll for an hour and 20 minutes and sat outside with all other people who had no idea he was doing this as a bit and did a full-on date with a blow-up doll in their patio, feeding her, providing water for her, telling people not to be looking or to take pictures of him, and then complaining to a server that Tory Lowe is trying to take a picture of him and how disrespectful that was, never broke character once, and did not become uncomfortable whatsoever. So him going to a furry convention is just a day at the park.
Yep. Yeah, that, I mean, I'm telling you, that's a different guy. That's pre-baby. Post-baby.
That's a different guy.
He just talks about, I just wanted to go home and lay on the couch. And, oh, just I was
just want to eat pretzels and watch college basketball.
Yeah, you guys just got to challenge him more.
We'll try to push him. But I am nervous. I don't think you should be touching these people's tails. I think that might be an issue, and I feel like he might want to grab at it.
Yeah.
They're grown people, right? You know?
He might get punched.
It's all right.
It'd make for
some good video.
Yeah, that's true. I won't argue with that.
All right, you guys gave me credit for not derailing the show. I derailed the show.
Good.
We'll bring it back on track. Jair Alexander, do you want him on the Green Bay Packers? Plus, more disappointing loss over the weekend. Was it Wisconsin? Was it Marquette? Do either of them matter as we get closer and closer to March? We'll hit it all next. Sunday, Karma, 800-990-3776. Hit us up on the Carbo's Talking Text Line.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Weezy out of here. December 5%
you can see the Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. On my nickname, dropped a Maybach truck on a watch and it was plain Jane. Let the door swing the door open, smell coke. Traffic and drug money, you chop out this road lane. Stepped out in mud, can't wait to tie my shoelace. Ocean like girls, bet this money make it so gay.
Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. No Craig Karmazin.
Look at Greg knowing the drop.
Gotta wait for it. Kyle Wallace. Bringing the energy, Alex Strofe, shaking his head. I'm Greg Scalzo, 800-990-3776, 800-990-ESPN.
These Boston folks is cultured, I see. Craig would be interrupting. What is this? What is that?
Greg
just knew he could feel it. He knew when the drop was going to come.
This is now the fourth time Kyle has complained about Craig today.
Like, no, it's different.
Is there something going on where you got an issue? You got a bone to pick with Craig?
No, I'm just so surprised about the fact that Greg has hit all the drops. He knew all the like, he's waiting.
What is surprising about Greg Scalzo being a good radio host? I'm confused by that.
He's never produced
a show with Greg. I love doing shows with Craig. I do because I love the spontaneousness. I love how off the rails we get. But it's just different. 2025 has been a Sugar Honey Iced Tea show. Can I say that?
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Has it not been that?
Here's the problem is that none of us ever talk about the show except for the 2 hours that we're on the show, which is Craig's brilliance because it's funny when we're talking about the show on the show, but at the same time, it does create some volatility. Like, I will say us talking about Dirty Al Gallagher was 30 minutes of very entertaining radio. But then that next week was a little bit.
On the day of a Packers playoff game, mind you.
Yeah. So it's been a little all over the place. Highs and lows.
Now, Kyle, it's been mostly you and me in 2025.
That is true, yeah.
I would
have dabbled Craig somewhere.
We've done fine.
Yeah, we've done fine.
I wouldn't say it's probably our best work, admittedly.
No, yeah, last week was interesting.
What did we do last week?
See, that's the problem. It wasn't memorable.
It's true. Oh, Badgers. We talked a lot of Badgers last week.
That's why it wasn't memorable.
I have to imagine in that Badgers conversation, UW-Green Bay was brought up a minimum of 6 times by Alex Strofe.
Yeah, he definitely brought it up. Probably.
He really loves that Green Bay Phoenix team.
Well, they did win last week, so yeah. I think they were brought up. You're right.
The Kiefer Sykes led team that never won an NCAA tournament game that he says was an amazing team. That everybody should remember.
Brought Wisconsin to overtime when they were a top 5 team in the country.
I want to get to college basketball, but quickly here, Jair Alexander potentially going to get cut this offseason.
Not potentially. You can get rid of the word potentially.
It feels like it's going to happen, it's right? Do you guys agree with that decision? We're talking about the defense needing to get better, right? We're talking about the Packers needing to change their ways. Well, Jair Alexander is a top five cornerback in the NFL when healthy. The Packers traditionally like to cut these guys and use that cap space to make sure that for years and years ahead that they're in good shape. Now, we've seen other teams, particularly the Philadelphia Eagles, say, you know what? We're not going to worry about what our cap situation is in 3 or 4 years because every year the cap continues to move up. And we're going to continue to reinvest in really talented players and we'll figure out a way to rearrange the cap on the back end. And sure, at some point, will it punish us? Yes, but maybe not as badly as everybody thinks in the moment. The Packers, however, play very conservative when it comes to the cap. Do you guys think that it is the right move for Goody to continue the way that he normally does business and ultimately get rid of Jair Alexander, who, when healthy, is, I would almost say undisputedly, the best player on this Packers defense?
So first off, yeah, I agree with that. But when healthy, if he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Been too many wins and ifs the last 2 years. The guy's played less than half of the games the last 2 seasons. He hasn't been available. There was a line in a Rob Domofsky article last week or 2 weeks ago that there was multiple people within the organization that were upset he didn't push it enough. He was cleared to play and didn't play multiple times this season, essentially, is what that quote said to me within the Domofsky article, which you can find at ESPNWisconsin.com. Goody last year had to reinvent the safety position. He signed Xavier McKinney in free agency. He drafted Javon Bullard and Evan Williams, who both had really nice rookie seasons. Across McKinney, who had a really nice first season in Green Bay, all pro level at the safety position. This offseason, cornerback needs to be the position that's reinvented. Now, you'll return Carrington Valentine and self-proclaimed CB1 Keyshawn Nixon. But other than that, you don't got much back. Eric Stokes is a free agent. Jair's going to get cut, probably, like you mentioned earlier. I think you save over $16 million by designating that as a post-June 1st cut, which is a nice chunk of change that you can go invest in free agency in a guy who's been healthier. So I think between the first-round pick, if they do end up hanging on to that and not trading for a bona fide superstar at edge, you draft a corner, you sign a corner in free agency, and you try to do what you did with the safety position a year ago, which obviously worked out well in the Packers' favor. When Goody invested in free agency and drafted some pieces. Can he do it again at corner? That's going to be a big question of the offseason.
The big thing with saving from a cap perspective is if you're not willing to spend it elsewhere, then you're actually not gaining anything.
Great point.
And if we're thinking that this Packers team is at a point in year three of the Jordan Love experiment, right? In year three, I wouldn't even say experiment. In year three of Jordan Love. Where I think most folks are ready for this team to take a step from being, oh, it's nice to be in the playoffs again, to, hey, can we potentially make a run at getting to another Super Bowl for the first time in 15 years? You're going to need to invest, and you're going to need to be bold, and you're going to need to take some chances. And if you don't have another cornerback to invest in, then I don't know what's better about that than going back with a Jair Alexander.
I hear you. But the guy, A, has, and it seemed like maybe it was a little bit better last year, but he hasn't been the best teammate, right? He's thrown both coaches and other players under the bus, Aaron Rodgers style, hasn't played when he's been cleared, like I just referenced. Can you count on him to do that in 2025? I don't know, right? I agree with your point wholeheartedly.
Yep.
If he's healthy, he's probably the best player on the Packers defense, but it's been way too big of an if, and it's totally reminiscent of another all-pro offensively who went through similar situations in David Bakhtiari. It's better to move on than try to chance it again, because if you view Jair Alexander as your top corner entering 2025, come the postseason, which the Packers are hopefully back in next year, is your top corner available? Or is he dealing with another long-term injury?
And
I don't think that's a road you want to go down for a third year in a row.
And I think the biggest thing is that Jair Alexander doesn't want to be here anymore, right? And the Packers don't want to have him here anymore. And so once you get to the point where the relationship no longer is beneficial and you don't want to be somewhere, then that's where you have other issues if you try to keep him around that will arise. They tried last year. What are you looking at?
You asking me?
Yeah, you're looking back and forth.
Yeah, I just... Is everything all right at home?
Everything's fantastic.
Okay,
at home.
You've made several relationship analogies about breakups today. I'm just making sure everything's okay.
The Green Bay Packers are. We're literally talking about a breakup that the Green Bay Packers are going to have.
I understand
with Jair
that, but
you've all pro corner.
You've had different relationship analogies for Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and Jair Alexander.
Because everything.
Are you like reliving past trauma as we dice through some of these situations for Green Bay that you want to acknowledge?
No,
because,
not at
hey,
all.
Hey, man, we're all ears, right?
No,
like it's just us for a moment. If you need to kick back on the therapy couch, we're more than willing to listen to you.
I don't need therapy, thank goodness. I'm sane and whole. I'm not saying therapy makes you not sane or whole, but saying it helps make you whole. I'm already whole without therapy. And then on top of that is, I'm just telling you, is that a breakup is on the horizon with Jair Alexander, and I'm saying when you already have a guy who says at his locker that I have nothing good to say, that's not a guy that you want to keep around. If he has nothing good to say about his teammates around, the team that made the playoffs, a team that fought hard this season, and he has nothing good to say, you don't want him around. So you already know. And the Packers are putting out there through Rob Novosky and other people that they don't want him around either. So the Packers should cut him. I mean, it is. And I love Jair Alexander, but I just know that it has run its course. It's over.
It's tough to lose a 28-year-old all-pro cornerback who seems like this next year for him would be a prove-it year, right? If he wants his money, if he wants another contract. He wants another contract, though. He's going to need to perform at a high level next season. And if we're talking about a talent deficiency on the offensive side and the defensive side of the ball, and a fan base that is expecting Super Bowl caliber team, and a division where Detroit's got more cap room, more talent on both sides of the ball than Green Bay does, it just seems precarious to let one of your most talented players go because you can't seem to get him on the field and the culture piece isn't right. Now, Chef Ed chimes in and says, if he's healthy, and that's a big if, I definitely want Jair on the team. And Appleman, hopefully on a beach somewhere. Still a little too cold to get back into the orchard. Appleman chimes in and says, we need to move on from Alexander. He is a cancer in the locker room. So, two different opinions there. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Now, quickly, before we get to Jason Wilde, bad loss for Marquette against Villanova on Friday night. Maybe even worse loss yesterday for the Badgers, blowing, a 15-point lead?
Yeah.
At home, at the Kohl Center, to go to overtime with Oregon, and then Oregon ends up winning the game in overtime. Two bad losses for two teams that are really playing well so far this college basketball season. Do either concern you as far as the goal and the potential for these two college programs to make some noise come March and hopefully here at Fiserv Forum, given that they'll be hosting the first weekend of the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I'm much less concerned about the Badgers than I am Marquette. The Badgers, and Benny Bruss pointed this out on Twitter yesterday, when they face a talented big man, they really struggle. And we talked about that earlier in the week on Kyle Bruston and Ortman. Stephen Crowell has had some big games this year, but man, has he had some bad ones too. But I'm much less concerned about this versatile Wisconsin team. Yes, I am. This Marquette team, man, they have completely stalled offensively the last month or so. I think they've lost four of their last five. This is rightfully so concerning. You're 3 weeks away from Selection Sunday. You're 2 weeks away from the Big East tournament out in New York. And this is a team that I think everybody viewed as, this should be a top 10 team all year long. And they are clearly not playing anywhere near that level right now. Now, I still believe they're well coached enough, they're pesky enough defensively to make some noise come the NCAA tournament. But man, they've got to flip a switch fast. They've got to turn a corner fast, because offensively, this has been a nightmare the last month or so.
I mean, I think we're just looking at two teams that their ceiling is Sweet 16. That's why I'm not super excited. Like, I enjoy watching the Wisconsin Badgers.
I think Wisconsin's ceiling can be higher than that, but they need favorable matchups, to your point.
Yeah, Tanji has played fantastic, but they just don't have it. Like, when it gets down to these tight games, I don't see Wisconsin making a magical run to the Final Four or even going to the Elite Eight. The Sweet 16 is getting to the second weekend is the mountaintop for the Wisconsin Badgers this year.
It's hard for me to say that when we're, two or three games removed from them going to Purdue and putting up 94 points and winning that game.
Do we think Purdue's going to make a run this year? They're not the same good Purdue team. I mean, they lost back-to-back games. They lost to Wisconsin. I think they went to Michigan State and lost as well. I'm not saying Wisconsin isn't good. I'm just saying when I look at national championship-type teams, I just don't feel like this team has it or the juice. They ain't got the guys. They just don't have the guys this year.
So the one thing I will say about this Badgers team is that offense is good enough where they can score. And when you can score, you can win. I still think both these teams definitely have Sweet 16 potential.
I agree.
I think it's one of those things where when you watch a team for a while, you know all their flaws. When you start watching all these other teams in college basketball, outside of maybe the top three or four teams, as is the case most years, there's a lot of flaws in college basketball. You know, when you look at some of those top 10, top 15, top 25 teams around college basketball. We'll get back to the Packers. Jason Wilde joins us next here, Sunday Karma, across ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Sunday Karma across ESPN Wisconsin. Alex Stroh, Kyle Wallace, myself, Greg Scalzo, no Craig Karmazin today. Excited to be joined by Jason Wilde, whom you hear every day across ESPN Wisconsin from 9 to noon. How are you, Jason?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
We are fantastic. A lot of Packers conversation this morning, and I guess where I would love to start with you is I think there's a desire from the Packers fan base for Brian Gutekunst to maybe stray from the norms of the Packer organization, whether it's to target a Davante Adams in free agency or to go out and make a trade for a big defensive player or, in some cases, as Rob Domofsky wrote on ESPN.com, potentially not cut a Jaire Alexander. What is the likelihood that Goody strays from the norms given at where this team is at in the perceived window of LaFleur and Jordan Love?
Yeah, it's an outstanding question because I can see this going a variety of ways, except for them bringing back Jaire Alexander. I mean, I will be happy to come on the program and say that I was 1,000,000% wrong, but that feels like that is not going to happen, and that's the most polite way I can put that, because first of all, he has missed 20 of the last 34 regular season games. Secondly, there's clearly some frustration within the organization, and has been for a while, with how this has all played out. You could certainly see from LaFleur a similar style of frustration with Jaire as he had with David Bakhtiari during that era of injury uncertainty. But most importantly, I think the players are making it pretty clear that they don't expect him back. Josh Jacobs going on Radio Row, and while the number one wide receiver thing got all the headlines, he said they needed a corner. Keyshawn Nixon proclaiming himself CB1 and saying that he's no longer going to return kicks. You don't say that if you think Jaire Alexander, who is CB1, even if in name only, is going to be back. So that I don't see that happening. I'm open to being wrong, but the reason this is such a good question is because there's mixed signals from Goody, and there are different pressure points that he's dealing with. One of the things that I've always disagreed with is the old saying that if you listen to the fans, sooner or later you're going to end up sitting with them, which I get, and it's funny, but the fact of the matter is that sometimes what fans want isn't the wrong thing, you know, whether that's Davante Adams, whether that's spending draft capital to trade for or spending big money to sign an unrestricted free agent pass rusher. Like, that may be what's best for this team, and maybe that aligns with what Goody will end up doing. But, you know, whether it's acquiring Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson or somehow Myles Garrett, or it's bringing back Davante Adams after he gets cut by the Jets, whatever that looks like, that would excite the fan base a ton. The problem is that I think I have a sneaking suspicion that down deep inside, I think Goody thinks he has most of the pieces he needs, and he just needs those pieces to play better. He needs Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed to make bigger jumps than they did from year one to year two, and he believes they can do that. He needs, you know, Romeo Doubs to be bought in and focused and also not concussed like he was twice in the final 8 weeks. He needs Jordan Love to play at a higher level. And one of the things that I thought he was pretty clear about after the season was that he believes they've got the right guys in the pass rush, and they fired the position coach now. So I think he thinks that those guys in the second year in the system, having invested the way he has in LVN and Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark, he thinks that those guys are good enough. So if they do go out and get Max Crosby, it'll be a case of, as Tausch always tells us, don't listen to what they say, watch what they do. And if he does something like that, then we'll know that that wasn't how he really felt about that group. So all those things, and then add to it the fact that they've got all these guys on maturing rookie contracts. That was what I wrote about today, is that it might be more prudent to squirrel this extra salary cap space away and use it to re-sign some guys that are all coming to, like, both their starting tackles are heading into their walk years. Both of those first-round picks, they're going to have to decide on the fifth-year options. Both of those wide receivers from the 2022 draft, Watson and Doubs, are in contract years. So there's a lot of moving pieces here, and I think it's anybody's guess whether Goody actually spends a big chunk of that $46.1 million effective salary cap space to add from the outside.
Jason Wilder with us here on Sunday Karma. Alex Stroff, Greg Scalzo, Kyle Wallace hanging out with you on this Sunday morning. Jason, I want to go back to your sneaking suspicion at wide receiver, because it feels to me, and again, this might be a fan who's wrong or a fan who's right saying this, it feels like malpractice to just run it back at wide receiver, especially with Christian Watson expected to miss, we would assume, a majority of the regular season. I believe Jaden Reed will be a really good receiver in the NFL at some point, and he's shown some great flashes. I believe Dontavian Wicks has the raw ability to turn into a really nice piece eventually. I just feel like they could use an upgrade, a facelift, and as you know, I'm very stubborn on, I think Davante Adams is the answer this offseason. Do you feel as if it would be malpractice or a shortcoming to not address it in some capacity, the receiver position?
What if you drafted one in the second round? Because Lord knows they don't draft first-round wide receivers.
Correct, yeah. Javon Walker, the last one, and I think he's like 50 years old at this point. No,
dang!
Probably not that old, but he's got to be in his 40s for sure. He's drafted in 04. I don't know. That doesn't feel like it's an immediate impact. It kind of feels like you're going back to what Jaden Reed was his rookie year, which was a nice piece. But does that really take you over the top in a really tough division? I would say no in year one.
Well, first of all, you're preaching to the choir, because obviously I am a huge proponent of the Davante Adams piece, not just because he's one of my guys, but more importantly, I just think he's the perfect fit, because he's not, you know, and you heard me talk about this on weekly, or now I guess it'll be monthly.
Monthly, yeah, occasional Wildy.
Yeah, as long as they don't spell weekly W-E-A-K-L-Y, then we're good.
Okay, I'll talk to our team about changing that. Sorry.
It's kind of like board. Never mind, B-O-R-E-D. Look, I think there's a couple pieces here. One, you know, I think Davante Adams, instead of a T. Higgins that you would have to pay the trade cost of acquiring once he gets franchise tag and then pay him a large contract, you're also committing to him based on your expenditures, for him to be your number one wide receiver for the next 4 to 5 years. Whereas Davante Adams would cost less, could still be your number one wide receiver for 25 and 26 and be able to be that guy, and allow Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks and Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson, if you retain them all, to grow in his shadow, but still grow into that role the way Devontae did in the shadow of Jordy Nelson, and the way Jordy Nelson did in the shadow of Greg Jennings, and the way Greg Jennings did in the shadow of Donald Driver, and so on and so on. Instead, the way they've done it, there was nobody that those guys could grow into the number one role while still being productive contributors, but not having to be the guy. And the ensemble cast has not paid the dividends that Goody thought it would. So to me, malpractice is a very strong word. I'm not willing to use that because I think there's a chance that he decides that he would rather go with young guys and believe that Jaden Reed and Dontayvion Wicks, after dropping a combined 19 passes this season, are going to be motivated to be way better. But the Watson injury is a huge wild card because are you ready? Have you seen enough from Bo Melton and Malik Heath and whoever you draft to say, no, we're good. We're just going to keep rolling with these guys? I personally don't think so. You don't think so. But that's not necessarily what Goody thinks, and I can't wait to find out if he thinks like we do or he's not like us.
Talking to Jason Wilde.
That was a Kendrick Lamar reference. That was a Kendrick Lamar reference.
That was, yes. I'm learning. I'm learning the music now after the
Look
Super
Bowl. Wildy's a K-Doc guy. How about that?
You like that, Kyle?
How about that?
No Drake guy?
Wildy doesn't know what he is. He's just trying to learn.
I don't. You're right. I don't know who I am. That's 1,000,000% true.
I would love an update for those media members in the locker room. If there's less Drake played this upcoming season now than there was previously, based on all these
hard-hitting journalism,
all these rivalries. But quickly, Jason, Aaron Rodgers now the favorite is the Rams as far as his landing spot per Vegas, right? So with the Matthew Stafford news that comes out yesterday that, you know, he's willing, the Rams are willing for him to talk to other teams. That has accelerated the favorite, followed closely by the Raiders and the Steelers. And of course the Vikings are there as well. We know that you're not a fan of any particular team or even player, but as a storyteller, where would you like to see Aaron Rodgers end up next season for the pure story of it all?
Well, first of all, I want him in the league. I understand, you know, there are some people who love all the stuff he says. And then there's others of us who maybe wish he would pick his spots a little differently. I obviously want him with the Vikings. I want him to do full farm and be able to watch that storyline evolve. My second choice, though, is the Rams. One of the things that I've always found fascinating, and people forget this, is after the 2020 season when he won his third MVP, and then he didn't show up for anything and was disgruntled, two teams inquired about his availability. One was the Rams before they traded for Stafford, and the Packers said no, because they knew Jordan Love wasn't going to be ready. But the other one was the 49ers, who did not do it through proper channels. Sean McVay and their brain trust went through the proper channels. There have long been allegations. The Packers chose not to pursue it. But I think everyone knows that they were tampering with Rodgers. Now, ultimately, the Packers kept him, and he won another MVP. And then they kept him for another year, which is proof that they knew Jordan Love still wasn't ready, but that's neither here nor there. So the Rams, to me, would be fantastic. I did say this, though. I said this on Homer's show one of the nights last week with John Anderson. I would recommend to him, though, that he go in wherever he lands, because I do want him to play, and I don't believe that he's ready to retire. I think someone as competitive as him is not going to be willing to end his NFL career on a performance like last season. But I hope he goes in and says, I'm going to be all about ball. I am not going to allow myself to be a distraction. I'm going to be fun Uncle Aaron with all the young guys. I'm going to be more open and willing to let the coaches coach, and I'll adjust offensively to some of the things. They don't have to do it my way or the highway. I would love for him to kind of embrace that, whether it's with the Rams or wherever else he might be, because I think that would be a fantastic way for him to go out, take a team to the playoffs, be that kind of teammate and guy, change the narrative. Because the narrative right now about him is that he's washed, And if you watch, I went back on NFL Plus and watched some of the games that I didn't watch while the Jets were actually playing them. He can still sling it. He doesn't move the way he did, but if he's invested and if he's surrounded with a good team and he's in a great mind spot, I think he can still play like hell. And I'm eager to see him do that.
Jason, appreciate the time. As always, everybody tune in, of course, to Will Deatash weekdays 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin. Thanks, Jason.
All right, fellas. Take care. Be good.
Palermo's picks up next on Sunday Karma.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin, presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Sunday Karma, no Craig Karmazin, and I'm Greg Scalzo here with Alex Strofe and Kyle Wallace. We'll wrap the show as we always do here with our Palermo's picks. Of course, right now, indulge with Screaming Sicilian Detroit style and stuffed crust pizzas on sale for just $6.99 at Piggly Wiggly, but you got to act fast because that offer ends on February 25th. So stock up on your favorites and taste what all the screaming is about. You don't do the scream?
Woo!
Nah, it's not.
You do it.
You didn't feel it.
Woo!
Know? There we go. Okay. We got a little bit there more.
Gotta get in the chest a little bit.
You know.
Woo!
Woo! Okay. I love me some Screaming Sicilian Palermos.
Who doesn't love Screaming
Sicilian? I was at Syndic's this morning. I saw some Palermos. I got a Funky Fresh this morning, actually.
Ooh.
I'm going to the parents' house and going to try some egg rolls.
There you go.
You go grocery shopping on a Sunday morning?
Sunday morning, rain is falling.
It's my karaoke song, believe it or not.
Well. We are.
Do you know I was a karaoke guy, Greg?
I could have presumed that. Yes, I could have guessed that. You don't have a whole lot of, you're not very shy. So what do we got for the Palermo's picks today? Are we going Bucks?
Yeah, let's just go with the Milwaukee Bucks. That all of a sudden the Milwaukee Bucks are a team that, do we believe they can finish in the top four in the Eastern Conference?
I do. I still think the Bucks have remained incredibly underrated in today's NBA landscape. I think the Kuzma stuff could end up working out really well for them. Bobby Portis obviously hurts, but...
Free Bobby P!
I think this Bucks team is going to be better than a lot of folks think to end the season.
They're more athletic than they were 2 weeks ago, that's for sure. Kevin Porter Jr., nice little surprise this week. Nice game Thursday against the Clippers.
And a game last week against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
What did Giannis say? He's a steal.
He is. Marjan was doing nothing.
Yeah, he's doing a lot more than what they traded him for, so...
5P tip, family night at Fiserv Forum tonight. Check it out. Bucks, Heat. This has been Sunday Karma. Have no idea who will be on next week, but I will be here.
I think it's all of us for once.
The whole gang is here.
Bring it back.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin.